possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
All right. Want to bang out a couple of mailbag questions?
Let's do a couple. You want to read them or you want me to?
Sure. I can read them.
All right.
We'll start with Roger, who has sent a couple in, but I'll start with this. It doesn't seem Cam Neely and Charlie Jacobs blamed Don Sweeney last season for some failure due to key player injuries, both Lindholms, McAvoy, Marchand, Kastelic. But if Jeremy Swayman has another average season this year, right before his long no trade clause kicks in, could that be the end of Sweeney? Would Sweeney's job be in danger if Marco Sturm doesn't further develop any of this year's crop of prospects or, you know, say slash young players? Is there a GM offense worse than making a bad long-term signing or hiring a coach that is a mismatch for the team given to him?
Well, he should be. He should be on the hot seat and let go if like you can't have the year you had last year and then follow that up with another shit season, but then have the silver lining be, well, we're closer to getting McKenna. Well, okay, yeah, because you sucked. Like your moves didn't work. And
right,
and
Gavin McKenna can be the next GM's reward.
Right. Exactly. And like James Higgins, like, he fell to you. You had to not select him at number 7 overall. I mean, would have been fireable right then. So can I give him credit for making the selection? Yeah, like, I'm not gonna take credit from him, but I'm not gonna give him a huge pat on the back for it. It was an obvious choice. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely think that Sweeney's job. I can't say if it's going to be on, you know, if he is in the hot seat, because he's very close with Neely and he's very close with ownership. But should he be? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like Roger's right. Like those would be the moves that ultimately get you fired. Like I would add, we've talked about it before. Zadorov, I actually think, played pretty well the second half of the season, so probably have less of an issue there, but like you are going to need more from Elias Lindholm as well, right? And obviously Swayman to bounce back. You can't have multiple bad long-term contracts stuck on your roster. And then, yeah, if you add in like maybe Sturm's not the right coach, that would just be several too many mistakes. Peter Chiarelli got fired for less. He got fired because he ran into cap issues with a few bad depth contracts, the Jerome Ginla bonuses, and like that was enough. Like, he ran into cap issues, couldn't get out of it. That was the end for Peter Chiarelli. Well, if Don Sweeney runs you into a corner where you now have multiple bad contracts that can't be moved, and he hired a coach who isn't really working out, like, yeah, I think you'd have to. I've said from when they extended him that I thought that bought Sweeney 2 years because he had 1 year left this upcoming season, and then he got a 2-year extension. I think teams are totally willing to move off of the final year of a contract, whether that's a GM or a coach. Usually you're not going to buy out 2 years, but if this season really goes south, then this could be the kind of situation that calls for it. And he could end up fired before the new contract technically ever kicks in.
Yeah, and I will say, because I in one breath I mentioned that Higgins fell to him, right? And that you have to be an absolute moron to not take James Higgins at 7 overall. That said, I will give him credit for being in the position, recognizing that his team was going down a dead-end road last year and that they needed to sell. So I will give him credit for the sell job, because I thought that the trade deadline was very well done by the Bruins. Like, and I know the Marchand thing sparked a lot of controversy. You know, if he doesn't go on to win a Stanley Cup, I don't think it's as talked about, but he does. But, you know, you get a first for him. I love the Coyle trade. If we're talking long-term, like big picture, I loved getting, you know, a second Zellers and Mittelstadt for Coyle. I love getting a first and Minton for Carlo, right? So, you know, the deadline was good. And in doing so, in selling, of course, the Bruins slid down the standings, as we all hoped that they would after that deadline. And that put them in a position to even finish fifth last and then fall to seventh overall in the draft and get Hagen. So I will give them credit for doing what they were supposed to do as the season went along. But you're supposed to do good shit as a GM, right? Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you had a good deadline and you sold like you were supposed to. So no, like you're supposed to do well with your job. I'm not going to, like, you know, throw you a parade for doing what was supposed to be done. I'm not going to say, oh, he shouldn't be fired next year because they had a good deadline at, you know, selling pieces in 2025. So, like, good for you. Good job there. But, like, yeah, that doesn't, you know, exonerate you from potentially being fired if next year goes to shit too.
All right. I'm going to skip Roger's second question for now, just in the sake of time and getting in some other people. Brian, we have a mailbag fashion segment.
Ooh, wow.
Katie says, hi guys, maybe you addressed this already, but I have a question about Bruins jerseys and NHL jerseys as a whole. Why don't the Bruins have City Connect jerseys the same way the Red Sox do, for example? I'll also add, the NBA has something like this. I forget what they call theirs, but jerseys that are meant to, like, reflect the city. Red Sox fans, me included, love the yellow and blue and the new Fenway green alternate jerseys. It gives you something more to love and something exciting to look at. I know the league has experimented with reverse retro jerseys, which were great, and certain teams are rebranding with new colors, but the reverse retro aesthetic seemingly dealt with the history of the team rather than the current and possibly future connection to the city. That city connection and all of its possible bright, vibrant colors would be fun to see. So, Brian, what do you think about the idea of NHL teams having City Connect style jerseys where maybe they're not sticking to the true team colors, but you're reflecting something about the city?
It's a good question. I'll start off by saying I absolutely love the Red Sox City Connect jerseys and their Green Monster jerseys. I think they're outstanding. So, and the Red Sox have as traditional uniforms as you have in sports, right? Like, because my mind wants to say, I don't know what the Bruins, like, I can't picture the Bruins in other colors, but I couldn't picture the Red Sox in other colors either. And here they are. I'm not sure if it's a difference in sport and culture. I have a hard time envisioning it with the hockey teams, but I can't say I wouldn't be open to it. Like, you know, you kind of see, like, I'm picturing, like, the Philadelphia Flyers having, you know, like, a uniform that's red, white, and blue with, like, a Liberty Bell in the center of it. Like, that could be cool, right? Like, if you wore it, like, two or three home games a year. And then, like, the Toronto Maple Leafs, they have those St. Pat's uniforms that obviously is a tribute to a pre-existing team in Toronto. But, like, could the Bruins have, like a St. Patrick's, like an Irish-themed uniform? It's hard for me to envision how the NHL would execute it, doesn't mean I'm totally against the idea of it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, it is hard to imagine, because I was thinking, like, you know, Bruins are obviously, they're kind of right in the middle, like they're right near like the Freedom Trail and like all the history and stuff. And it's like, can you do something like revolutionary theme, like, kind of along what you were just saying with like Philly, like maybe the Bruins would have something red, white, blue. And that's like, but you already have like the Patriots all in on like that scheme, even the Revolution, the Red Sox use those colors, even if that's not necessarily the basis for it. So yeah, like I'm with you. Like I wouldn't rule it out because I think a lot of baseball teams have done some really cool things with it. NBA, I feel like, has been a little more hit or miss, but there have been some good ones. Like the Celtics had one that incorporated, but like it incorporated like the parquet design, which is like more team related, but yeah. So I would be open to it. Like I would like to see what it looks like, but it is a little harder for me to envision than it was with baseball.
Well, and now that I think about the Red Sox jerseys, the logos aren't different. Like it's, you know, it's still like the City Connects say Boston, the yellow ones, they say Boston, which is kind of what the Red Sox road jerseys always say Boston. And then the Fenway Green Monster jerseys say Red Sox. So if we're to draw a parallel comparison to the Bruins, it would still have to be a Bruins logo that they use or something. So like you couldn't just have a, you know, it wouldn't just be like some AI generated image of the Boston Tea Party on their logo or the Zakim Bridge, right? Like in different cut, like, because now it's like, you don't even know what you're watching. So it's the Bruins, but they're wearing green and blue, but the logo is a Zakim. It's like, who the fuck am I watching right now? So it would still have to be like a Bruins logo, which just with different colors. Otherwise, why are you doing it? And I'm not sure what those colors would be. And it would be weird to see the Bruins spoke be in like anything other than that. So we all know how I felt about the Centennial jerseys. That was straying off the course enough for me to raise my eyebrows. But
yeah, the Red Sox ones do have like slightly different fonts, like the yellow and blue ones, which are modeled after the marathon finish line. Like they have kind of like that marathon lettering. So, you know, you could do something like that. Like, it's like, would you ever see a Bruins jersey that doesn't have the spoked B on the front, right? Well, I guess we have. Like, we've seen that. We've seen people there. So, like, could you get, like, you know, Boston, like, a written script, like something like the Red Sox have done.
Yeah.
Where it's incorporating some different style. You know, I don't know. Like, maybe it's in, like, Mike's Pastry font or something.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the Montreal Canadiens, when they had one of their reverse retros, it was they were hockey uniforms in the color scheme of the Montreal Expos. Ironically, Scott's wearing an Expos hat right now. But that had the Canadiens logo on it. Now, the Montreal Canadiens are as traditional as a hockey team could possibly be when it comes to their uniforms. And I'm sure that had some controversy around it, maybe in Montreal. I thought it was a pretty cool look for, you know, a one-off type thing. So, yeah, like I said, it's for some reason with hockey, with the socks and the pants and the helmet and the gloves, there's so many elements to a hockey uniform that it's tough for me to envision it. Whereas baseball, it's like, yeah, you just got to get some pants and a jersey and a hat. But like I said, I would be open to the idea of something fun like that. It's just, it's harder to envision for hockey, but sure, why not?
Throw Sam Adams on there with holding up the beer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, let's do one more here before we get out. This is from @Bruin77_7. This was a YouTube comment. Question: I heard on multiple podcasts that this kid Matte Blumel can crack the lineup because he can score. Why would the Stars give him up then if that's the case? Or is he just another Georgi Mrkalov, good at the AHL level, but that's it? What exactly is the main reason for the optimism? Can you guys elaborate?
It's a fair question. It remains to be seen. I think to the crux of the question, why is there optimism? You know, I think you know, you and I have been more like, we don't really know. Like, I do think that there are some out there that are penciling him in right now as like a third liner or a second liner. It's like, well, he's 25 and he has one NHL point, maybe two. I'm not saying that to you know, demean what he's done. I'm just saying, like, I'm just illustrating the fact that he's anything but a certainty. So I have the same questions. Like, I haven't watched him. Like, I'm not going to pretend like I watched what's Dallas's affiliate's name? Where are they from?
The Texas Stars. They play – where do they play? Do they play in Houston?
Yeah, that may be. I mean, I've watched his highlights since the Bruins acquired him. I think ultimately, like, to bring up Georgi Mrkulov is fair. Like, my concern about Georgi Mrkulov at the NHL level is that he doesn't have the speed, the separation speed to make plays at the NHL level that he makes at the AHL level. So,
by the way, they play in Cedar Park, which is near Austin.
Oh, okay.
I'm not good on Texas geography. Never been to Texas, actually.
Austin, I think Austin's smack dab in the center of Texas. I've been to Austin and I've been to Dallas. Pretty cool. But
I've had a very brief stopover in Dallas on a flight to Tulsa, Oklahoma, of all places.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. In college, I covered a BU basketball in the NCAA tournament, mm-hmm. and that's where they were for the first round, was Tulsa.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Probably not a city you really need to go to for any other reason. Wasn't a whole lot to do there.
Yeah, I mean, I could recommend Austin for people. I think it just depends what you're going there for. But, I mean, I've been to Austin once, and the best way I could describe it is it's kind of like a Longhorn Steakhouse meets a Jamba Juice. Like, it's very Texas, but at the same time, it's kind of like liberal and young and stuff. And so it's kind of like this like weird blend, but there's East 6th Street, I think is what it is. It's a road with just all bars on both sides, no covers, and every bar is like unique to itself. It's pretty cool. And the food's really good there too.
I would love to go to Austin. Like, if it was just me going on my own and like not to cover the Bruins or something, like that's where I would go in Texas for sure.
Pretty cool.
But by the way, maybe Austin gets an NHL team. I don't know if you saw, this was like maybe last week or the week before, but the NHL like opened the expansion bidding process. So this is just like, I think we all know it's like the worst kept secret that the NHL is going to expand again at some point with two more teams and then maybe even two more somewhere after that.
Jesus.
But everyone assumes, and maybe we shouldn't assume, but it seems likely that Atlanta is one. And then felt like a lot of people were penciling in Houston for the second, but a group out of Austin like submitted a proposal, and not really way off topic, but I can actually see that really working for the NHL, where Austin doesn't have a team in any of the four major sports right now. They have a soccer team. But you could kind of be the, like the NHL was in Vegas, the in on a ground floor in a rapidly growing city.
Yeah. And that's fair. You know, I every time expansion talks come up, it breaks my heart that Quebec is not included. And we had Pierre Maguire on last year, and I asked him about that, and I just don't – he doesn't think it's ever going to be a fit again. Like, when it comes to – this, there would never be a Quebec insert team name here, if you want to call it the Nordiques, we'll just call it that for now. There would never be a Quebec NHL team that didn't have a sold-out practice preseason game or regular season game, and their merch would kill. But I think it comes down to, like, TV deals. But let me ask you a question. Why is Winnipeg what's better about Winnipeg financially than Quebec?
Honestly, if a team were relocating today, like if Atlanta was relocating now, I don't think they'd go to Winnipeg. I think what Winnipeg does is, like, it highlights the exact same problem Quebec would have, which is, like, the limited overall reach that a smaller Canadian market is going to have. Like, we know the people there are going to be bonkers, right? Like, you're going to sell out. There's going to be a fever among the local fans. And then, like we were just saying earlier, you're never going to see them on US TV. And there's not going to be any appeal kind of beyond their city and, you know, surrounding towns. And the NHL just wants to aim higher. And, like, sometimes they've missed when they've done that, right? The Thrashers never got off the ground, in part because they had bad ownership. Arizona eventually has to move, you know, technically, I guess they shut down and Utah starts as a new team. But, yeah, they're going to target big U.S. markets because they just think there's so much more growth potential there than there would be in Canada. So, like, the only way Quebec would ever get a team is if someone rich enough buys a struggling U.S. team and wants to relocate them there, and there isn't a better group in another U.S. city bidding on them. It's basically the only way it could happen.
Yeah, I guess it's just... You know, I feel so bad for the Quebec City natives and surrounding town, people, citizens, because you talk about just the worst luck in the world. They had the team. They had the team. They had Joe Sakic. They had Peter Forsberg. They had that team in 1995. And then they go to Colorado in 1996, the year after they lose them, and they win the Stanley Cup. So the team that should have been theirs, the cup should have been Quebec's in 1996, and it was Colorado's.
But one major wrench thrown into that is, would Montreal have ever traded Patrick Waugh to Quebec, who was a rival, instead? Oh,
that's a fair question. Yeah.
They were totally willing to ship him out west to Colorado.
That's a great point, Scott. That's a great point. But, man, first of all, as you know, Quebec City is fucking awesome. I love Quebec City. Yeah. The rivals that they would have with Montreal, Toronto, Boston, Buffalo, like that, it would make, like, I honestly think that similar to Buffalo, like, I think Quebec would have an awesome TV market with hockey. And I don't know. I mean, like, we can sit here and talk about that all we want. The Ottawa Senators, yeah, it's the nation's capital in Canada. They play like 45 minutes outside Ottawa and in the middle of a wheat field, like, for Christ's sake. So,
by the way, their new arena deal just got approved. So,
good for them.
They're officially going to be starting on that, and that will be downtown, so that'll be much nicer.
And I also think that Quebec City, being, you know, on the East Coast, it's a little bit different than like a Winnipeg. Like, you do have that proximity to travel and stuff, and fans travel well, but anyway, we digress. Matei Blumel. So,
he's going to be playing in Quebec this year. What the hell's happening?
Yeah, exactly. To the question, I think people are just looking at why are they optimistic. I think that they see that he's put up over a point per game in the AHL for the last two or three seasons, and maybe he's just a diamond in the rough. And I think that, yeah, it remains to be seen on him. I'm not sold. Can he make plays at the speed that the NHL requires to make plays? I don't know.
Yeah, and I also think, like, if you look up his highlights on social media or on YouTube or whatever, like,
he's not an explosive skater.
But like, there's some legit skill there. Like he makes some nice stick handling moves, some good dekes, has some nice finishes. So like, you can talk yourself into it pretty easily. But you're right. Like, there's a reason it hasn't happened at the NHL level yet. That doesn't mean it can't or won't. But yeah, I'm with you, and I've said that before. Like, I need to see it. I'm very open to it. If I sit there at Warrior and see him look really good in training camp and in preseason games, like, great. Like, I'll pencil him into the roster.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm more on the skeptical, like, let me see it against NHL competition first.
He's a crafty player, and that's why he gets a lot of his points, because, you know, at the AHL level, he does have the ability to finish with the puck on his stick in tight. But I don't even at the AHL level, I don't see a lot of his goals coming from bursts of speed. He just kind of knows where to be, and that's admirable. That's great to have that hockey IQ. But you know, the reason why I get excited about a prospect like Dan Zlochmelis, for example, is because I see his I think his skating ability will translate to the NHL level. I think he'll be able to make plays at the NHL, because I think he's a very good skater. Now, I'm not saying I'm anointing him to the NHL roster right now, but that's why I get excited about a prospect like that more so than Blumel, because I think that one player's skating can translate better. But to your point, Scott, I am open to being proven wrong and let the best player make the team, right? So we'll find out soon enough. All right. Any final thoughts on that?
No. I think I'm ready to wrap up. Hour and a half, that's my limit. Tanks on empty.
Yeah, I hear you.
Send us mailbag questions.
Yes.
Skatepod at WEI.com, at the Skatepod on Twitter. Leave a comment on YouTube.
Thank you all very much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.